Cape Talk.
DIY. We're talking lighting today, and it's meant to be beautiful as well as functional, but so often we get it wrong. We choose the wrong kind of fixture for the wrong kind of space, the wrong kind of bulb to put inside it, and just don't make as much of it as we should and could. My guest today is, I hope, going to set us straight and answer some of your questions, specifically around LED lighting. It's a great pleasure to have lighting specialist Mark Jardine of Lightopia with us today. Great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
It's a great pleasure, Mark. He's standing by to answer your questions around LED illumination. You can call us on 021-446-0567. You can also leave a voice note if you prefer on 072-567-1567 or send an SMS to 31567. Before we dive into any of the actual questions, tell us a little bit about the business.
Okay, my company is called Lightopia. I've been in the lighting business for 26 years, about 20 years in the States, about 6 years back in Cape Town. We pride ourselves on service, excellent product, and good value for money. Mm-hmm. That's very important when it comes to people making decisions about their homes, what they're going to put in, what's going to last, the quality of everything they're doing in their mm-hmm. home. We do mostly retrofitting, so we design, supply, install, and service where need be. Our target markets are residential, hospitality, retail, commercial, and body corporates. We do a lot of work with body corporates.
Okay.
All these old flats around here, the lights are falling apart. So we go to improve the look of the lighting as well as being very energy efficient. These days, with the electricity costs what they are, being energy efficient and saving money on electricity, which keeps going up, is a very important factor.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for the explanation. Do you have a one central showroom or store, or where can listeners find you?
We are mobile. I have an office which I work from, but we are always mobile, going out to people's houses, mm-hmm. and everything's on site. So if we're meeting a client to do their house, we will go to their house, do a display, answer any questions. A lot of it takes two people to make decisions, a husband and a wife. So we go in the evening, have both of them, and take it from there. Okay. Same thing with hospitality and retail. We want to see the owners, so we go to their place of business and deal with it there. Much easier than them trying to make an appointment to get to us and then cancel and traffic and everything.
And you need to see the space that you're advising on, obviously.
Most importantly, yeah. They need to show me what they want to do and how we want to do it, and then I can help them along that.
Okay. Thanks so much for being with us today. When we talk about LED, you've already mentioned one of the big issues, and that is the energy saving. But how does LED lighting differ from other kinds of lighting?
It's all new technology. It is electronically charged. Each LED bulb has a little driver in it, which connects to a chip, LED chip. So that powers it up. There's no gas, there's no mercury, there's no old-fashioned filaments. So it is new technology that puts us in a different light, excuse the pun, to do everything we need to do during the day or in offices like we are now.
Mm-hmm. No gas, no mercury, no filament. To my mind, that immediately goes, that makes you more environmentally friendly at the end of the lifespan of the LED light fitting.
Absolutely. Because they last longer, there will be less of them to dispose of. Also, their life is very long. So a good quality bulb is going to last up to or at least 5 years. And to dispose of them is an easy thing to do, as opposed to the CFLs, where you can't just throw them in the trash because they have mercury and other things in them.
So if an LED bulb goes, you can just put it in the dustbin, is that correct?
Well, it can be recycled.
It can be recycled.
So not the dustbin, any recycling area would be fine.
Good to know. Okay. So it's light emitting diode. That's what the LED stands for, correct?
Correct.
Okay. It runs cooler than other lights as well. Is it literally cool to the touch, or is it just significantly cooler than other kinds?
It's cool to the touch. If you put your hand on any of the bulbs here or anything, it will be warm, but it will not be hot. Like the old halogen bulb.
Yeah.
Took about 5 minutes for them to cool down before you could even touch or change them.
Yes.
The LEDs are warm to the touch and have no significant problem with anything of the heat.
Okay, that's also good to know if you've got small kids in the house, as one who's been through that, the era of touching the hot light bulb, but learn it from experience. What about the sort of ambience? What kind of light does it create?
When mentioning LED, people often think about the white light, like hospital type lighting, which when they first came out was a lot of it. That's called cool white or daylight. Mm-hmm. It is very sterile, not something you want to put in your home. Maybe nice in the front of a retail shop where you really want to get bright light and get the colors to shine.
Mm.
In the home, we want something warmer. So similar to a halogen downlighter, that color, and it does come in different color temperatures. The color temperature is the color of the light coming out, whether it's warm white, natural, or cool white. Mm-hmm. And different brands have different color temperatures. So I normally show my clients two or three different choices. Mm-hmm. And also what's very important is the beam spread. Beam spread is when the light comes out the bulb, how does it disperse?
Yeah.
So you can have something that's narrow. Say you've got a piece of art, you really want to, you know, make it pop and light it, you would use a narrow beam. If you have a low ceiling and you'd want light everywhere, you'd use a wider beam with a frosted lens, like 100 degrees. So the narrow is about 36 degrees, the medium's about 60 degrees, and the very soft wide light is about 100 degrees.
Gosh, I had never even considered that was something you had to factor in. So it's not just the quality of and the kind of light you're producing, but how that light is dispersed. I love the idea of the painting with a very focused beam on it to really highlight it. If you've just joined us late to the conversation, we're talking to Mark Jardine of Lightopia, answering your questions on LED lighting today. And our first caller is through Marnie in Belleville. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'd like to know, I'm a visually impaired. I can't see properly, but what I found was, if I'm in a place that's got fluorescent lights, then I can see better, actually. So I just want to know if the fluorescent light, does it use more electricity than the LED? Thank you. I'll listen on the radio.
Thanks for your call, Marnie.
Okay, Marnie, good question. The fluorescent lights are a bit older, and they do have mercury gas inside it. Some people can't even work under them because they have irregular movement of the light in it. Nowadays, they do make a LED light, like a 4 foot or 5 foot fluorescent, but in LED, which about half the wattage of the old fluorescents, and it gives you probably about 40% more light, and there's no movement of the light inside it. So if you're visually impaired and you want really good quality light, I would step away from the fluorescents and go into a LED strip or whatever it is. A lot of the fittings can be retrofitted, so it's not a big deal, or you can just buy a new fitting that's LED already.
You said a lot of the fittings can be retrofitted. Does that imply that there are some that can't be?
Yes. LEDs, because they're electronic, don't like electronic ballast, which is the unit that fires up fluorescent bulbs in the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
Most of those are used because they are more efficient and environmentally friendly. So because the LED is electronic, it'll not work with a electronic ballast. It will work with what's called a magnetic ballast, which is the old heavy wire wound ballast.
Mm-hmm.
To make it even easier, you can take out the ballast and just directly wire the LED bulb into the existing fitting.
Okay. Thanks, Marnie, for your call. I hope that's given you some help there in how to perhaps light up your own environment. An SMS saying your guest mentioned LED light bulbs can last up to 5 years. This has not been my experience at all. Is there a specific brand that he could recommend?
I don't really want to speak brands, but there are cheaper brands you can buy. A lot of them are not going to last. The other thing is, depending on the area you're at, the one thing LEDs don't like is voltage surges. So if there's a power outage and Eskom turns the power off, mm-hmm. and the power comes back on, it surges straight to the light bulb. And because of the electronics in it, they don't like that type of thing. Also, if there's uneven voltage, depending what bulb it is, but you need 220 to 240 volts in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a surge or something, like I said, if there's a surge or something happens and you get more voltage through, it's going to hurt the bulb. But definitely the quality and the longevity of the bulb should be a lot more than any incandescent or fluorescent. Mm-hmm. I would definitely want to check brands and go with a big name brand.
Okay. If, for example, the power goes down and you have an outage for a couple of hours in your suburb, should you then be walking around the house making sure that you switched off any lights that were on?
They're not a bad idea, because they say you need to do that with like TVs.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime there's anything electronic, when the power goes out, when it comes back on, there is a surge. So I've actually heard of people, their TVs or whatever it is, actually blowing, not blowing up, but shorting out because of the surge when the power comes back on. So same, the bulbs aren't as susceptible to that,
mm-hmm.
but definitely would be a good idea if you got nothing better to do.
Okay. Thanks for that question on the SMS line. Keep them coming to 31567, or you can tweet us at Cape Talk if you have a question. We've often on the show been asked about light fittings interfering with radio signal. Anything you can comment on, particularly with an AM radio signal like ours?
Yeah, definitely AM only, I think. And because, again, the bulb is electronic, you are going to get different waves that are going to affect the radio signal from AM. It's not something I would be concerned about, or I've even heard as a problem. I mean, if you have thousands of LEDs in an office and you're trying to listen to AM radio, I think that might be a problem. Mm-hmm. But in a house where you've got 6 or 10 and your AM's on, I can't imagine that happening.
Okay, thanks for that. Let's go back to the lines. Denise has given us a call from Table View. Denise, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you very much. I just have to ask the gentleman, what do we do with the old fluorescent lights? Because you can't chuck them in the bin because they're so dangerous.
I know my local Pick and Pay has got a collection bin for them, Denise, if that helps. Is there anything else you'd suggest, Mark?
No, that's perfect. A lot of the bigger stores like Pick and Pay, they have a specific area in the entrance where you do dispose of your fluorescents, because you don't want to just throw them away.
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, Denise, you really can't miss them, and I think most of the retailers have the same thing. There's a bin for batteries, there's a bin for the light bulbs. You can also drop off paper and stuff like that, but the two really big ones for me are taking your used-up batteries and your old light bulbs go there. So thanks for your call. I'm told I must ask you about the wrong orientation of bulbs and how that affects lighting. Is there a right way and a wrong way to put them in?
When you install them, generally not. I mean, in this country, you have screw-in bases, you have bayonet bases where you install the bulbs. The downlighters have generally, it's called a GU10 socket. It just twists into that. So it's pretty straightforward how you install it. You just need to be careful that the fitting is in good shape and that the bulb is in good shape and, in shipping something didn't happen or it got bent or something. Other than that, it's pretty straightforward.
Okay. A WhatsApp from Graham in Pingle Bay who'd like to know how effective LED is for sports like a netball, tennis, lawn bowls, etc. So I assume if you're playing under floodlights, he means.
Correct.
Yeah.
The old floodlights, which were probably used all the time, is metal halide, which is a big ballast firing up a very big, hot, bright light bulb. The LEDs are now getting compatible to that with their lighting for sports field and even high bays in factories where you have the old high pressure sodium lights. You can retrofit it or alternatively change the fixture to a LED high bay, which is going to give you better color rendition and a better spread of light as well. Plus, you don't have a ballast and you don't have a bulb, and those get costly when either one burns out from the old technology.
Okay. WhatsApp asking if you can please explain what you mean by retrofitting. So I've understood it to mean taking out the old kind of lighting that you were using and replacing it with LED. Am I correct?
Correct. Either the light bulb or the fitting. So say somebody has an old fitting in a nice living room, but it's just giving light everywhere and they want to get some more drama. We could change the fitting to something that has directional light and again use a different beam spread and color temperature and dimming if need be. So you can just, by changing a light fitting in using the existing PowerPoint, change the whole look of the room just by doing the lighting. Also with down lights, yes, that's a big thing. Most of the houses and all hospitalities and retail have downlights. So you can essentially take out the old halogen. You do have to remove the electronic transformer and hook up a 220-volt socket and install a LED into that same downlight. You don't need to change the fitting. You just need to change the light bulb and the socket.
Okay. I heard you mention dimming, and somebody has emailed asking whether you can get LED lights on a dimmer switch.
Yes, no problem. You have to discriminate the bulbs because, not like halogen, you can either dim or not dim them. The LED is a regular bulb and a dimmable. The driver is affected differently by dimming, so you can dim it all the way down. Also important, you need a specific dimming module, which is the little unit that goes in the wall that kind of talks to the bulbs and tells them how to dim. So if everything's on track, it's not a problem at all.
Okay. Bridget on the SMS line asking, would you recommend LED lights to use in my art room?
Yes, definitely. Especially if you're using fluorescent, you want to get rid of those. And you can get different color temperatures for your art room. And again, different beam spreads. If you use 4,000 Kelvin, which is very close to natural sunlight at midday, your colors in the art are going to be very, very close to what they really are. Whereas if you're using halogen or any other light source, you are going to get a color distortion as opposed to the clear light from the LEDs.
Okay, interesting. Bridget, there we go. Good luck with the artwork under that light. Good question, seeing as you've spoken about the fact that these are more energy efficient bulbs. Somebody asking, are there any incentives or tax rebates for switching to LED light?
Unfortunately, not anymore. Eskom did offer a program a few years ago, but they don't do anything anymore. It's kind of you're on your own to do it. Average house retrofitting maybe 20, 30, 40 downlighters, the job's going to pay for itself in about 6 to 9 months with the electric savings, just generally.
So 6 to 9 months turnaround. Okay, that's pretty good. All right, I think we can squeeze in one last question, and that's from David in Milnerton on the WhatsApp line. Interesting one. This David says, I experience nausea and discomfort when standing under an energy-saving lamp. Do we know anything about side effects of being in close proximity to them?
When you say energy-saving, I'm thinking you're talking about fluorescent.
Possibly. I'm not sure. Are you aware of any kind of lighting having an impact on human health or
Correct.
Body?
Correct. Yeah. The fluorescents, people work in offices and they have those 2x4 fluorescents, especially when it's dark outside or there's little light or the days are short. It does, the wavelengths from the fluorescent do affect you. A lot of people get headaches. They'll turn the lights off and either have a desk lamp or just work in the dark because it definitely is affecting you from the fluorescence.
Okay, interesting question, David. Thank you for asking it. We've learned an awful lot in a short space of time. Mark, it's been great to have you with us. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Just in closing, if listeners would like to get hold of you to find out more about Lightopia or to chat to you about fittings for their own home or office, how do they do that?
I have a website, lightopia.co.za. They can have a look at roughly what we do and email me directly through the website or the phone numbers on there as well. Feel free to call anytime.
Mark Jardine of Lightopia, great to have you with us.
Thanks very much, Pepper.